right, and we are here on Conspiranormal. This is your host, Adam Sane.
I'm your co-host, Luke Reed.
What's going on, Luke? How you been?
Great, man. Just been kind of roughing it.
Yeah, I hear that you have a mobile home now.
Yeah, it's a one bedroom, no bath, no plumbing or anything like that.
Yeah, but four couches, right?
Well, not necessarily couches, but
seats.
Yeah.
You got a love seat in the back and couple of seats in the front.
Oh, that's true, yeah. There is a love seat.
So you got a love seat in the back, man.
Mm-hmm.
So
plenty of storage space, too.
Right. This is otherwise known as Luke's car. So, you know, he's really not truly living in his car. He's staying with some people, you know,
until
he finds a place to live. So if there's any, like, hot ladies out there that want to give Luke a home, he's available.
Oh, yeah. Prize.
Well, anyway, tonight we're going to have on the Doogie, Stephen McDougall, as he's known. He's known as Doogie, and we're going to have him on from the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. And it should be interesting, kind of a special thing for Halloween. Somebody that gotten to know over the last few weeks through a lot of phone calls, and have met up with him a couple times. So it should be interesting. But I saw something interesting today, Luke, that I thought maybe... I showed you right before we started recording,
mm-hmm.
and that was that there was on an Arizona television station, there was actually a
banner.
Yeah, a banner. It was during like an episode of The People's Court, so it was during the day. It's like one of those wonderful daytime television shows, and it showed a picture. It was a banner of it said Obama like 40 million something votes. And Romney, 38 million something votes. And then it had like 99% of precincts reporting in. And then it had like, you know, the percentages, which was something like, I believe like 43% for Obama and 40% for Romney. And there it was. It flashed on for like 15 seconds and then flashed back off. And
before the votes have even
before November 6th, which is the election. So if anybody's listening to this, you know, after that, which is extremely likely that people will be listening to this after the election, you know, we should know by then whether the percentage of the popular vote was 43 to 40%. So,
and I suggested that they will probably just change it now to a slightly different number so that all of those people like you that have seen it.
Yeah, I did save the picture. But however, I did say today, you know, at work with, you know, a couple of our coworkers that I said that, you know, it's one of two things, either that, you know, they've already cooked the numbers or it was a mistake and they were testing out their system. And somebody in this article, they put an update on the article that I saw. And I've actually put that on the Conspiranormal Facebook page, that article, by the way, that they saw these people from the TV station. They said that it was a mistake, that they were just testing out their system. But I don't know. I just think it's really strange.
Yeah, that is
odd. Awfully specific numbers.
Who uses something like that as a test?
Yeah,
and why would you have to test a banner?
Yeah, well, I mean, I could see them doing that if they were getting really worried and they were getting ready that their system wasn't going to work correctly. But
even so, would they put in all those specific numbers, or would they just say election results in a just one solid line across it, you know?
And then, two, even if it isn't fake, even if it isn't like a vast conspiracy and it's just a mistake, they still decided that Obama was going to win. So that's the other thing, that if you didn't notice that, you know, Obama is going to win the election, according to these people. So, but is there anything else that you want to talk about before we get to our guests?
I don't know, Adam. What do you have in mind?
I've heard you've been you're talking about your Lego experiments lately, that you've been playing with Legos.
Right. For some reason, my dad's having a yard sale Friday, and he's got a box of Legos out there, and I used to play with Legos a lot when I was younger, and I wouldn't let him sell them, Like, there was kids looking at the box and everything. I took it away from them. And I was playing with the Legos on the porch, and I've been playing with Legos just solid all weekend. I went to the skate park and just straight played with Legos today for like 5 hours instead of skateboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is about them. They're just like...
You said that, like, you if one piece wasn't right, you would bust the whole thing and start over.
If one piece is asymmetrical and I don't have, like, another piece to match it on the other side, or it's not the right color scheme or something like that, then I break the whole thing down and start from the scratch. Man,
that's incredibly OCD, but, you know, we all have our hang-ups. But, well, I think without further ado, I think we're going to go to the guest and... we should be back soon, and I hope you all enjoy this interview with Doogie from Tennessee Wraith Chasers. And Doogie. On a side note, Chris is no longer with us. He has retired.
He's very upset about it.
He's retired. His conspiranormal, you know, when he used to take a nap behind us here. And we'll miss him.
We can say anything we want about him right now because you know he doesn't listen to the show.
Well, you know, we love him, so I mean, no big deal. He helped out and helped get things off the ground me and showed me things.
And plus, he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So everybody's missing Chris, and let's go ahead and get to the interview, and we'll be back on.
Conspiranormal.
Okay, and we are back on Conspiranormal. This is your host, Adam Sane.
Your co-host, Luke Reed.
And we have some very special guests tonight. We have on Steve McDougall, otherwise known as Doogie, and Chris Smith from the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing well.
Going on.
Welcome.
And we just wanted to get you guys on since you guys are here in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee area. And just wanted to talk about some of the cases that you guys have been on and some of the things that you guys have done and any paranormal experiences you guys have had. And, you know, kind of a special for Halloween. So if you guys would just introduce yourselves and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. We appreciate you guys having us.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Well, Doogie, you want to take this one?
My name's Doogie. I'm a co-founder and one of the lead investigators for the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. And, Chris, I'll let you do your introduction.
Well, I'm Chris Smith, and I'm the founder of the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. I founded it in 2009. We've been... investigating ever since then, just basically around the Middle Tennessee area. We've ventured out a few times, but, you know, we started out small, and, I mean, we're nothing, you know, giant now, but we love doing what we do, and we've seen and heard and experienced some pretty crazy things, but we're just doing what we do, going out here trying to find evidence of the paranormal and trying to share it with everybody else.
If I can ask, guys, how did you all get involved with paranormal research?
Well, I had an experience when I was about 23 years old. I saw what I believe to be a shadow figure, an apparition that's pretty much just all black. I'm sure everybody knows, has heard about that by now, what that is. And that got me curious and got my wheels turning about, you know, what's out there. So I kind of just started going out to graveyards and cemeteries and things by myself, because you don't really want to call up your buddies and be like, hey, you want to go sit in the cemetery tonight and hunt a ghost to see if we can get some voices or something. But so I started doing it solo, and I think Doogie, he kind of started out the same way, didn't you, Doogie?
Yeah, mine started out, like, my grandmother, after my grandfather passed away, she's pretty much straight-laced, you know, Bible lady, never talked about anything to do with ghosts or anything. It was always, you know, strictly laced to God. And she got to experiencing some things in her house, which she lived in a historical area of Tennessee. And, you know, some of the things she was saying, you know, some of the family just thought, you know, maybe her mind was getting, you know, playing tricks on her, you know, getting weak. And, you know, after she got sick, and was out of her house, I said, well, you know, I want to see if what she was telling me was true or not. You know, she was talking about the same thing, shadow people and seeing apparitions in her house. So I decided to go in and check it out, and then end up that she was actually not crazy or feeble-minded. She was actually experiencing these things. So, you know, I pretty much made it my life mission to, I don't know how to really explain it. I guess just to avenge her, I guess, you know, to let everybody else know that, you know, this was actually happening to her, and, you know, hopefully figure out what it is that she was seeing and hearing and talking to. You know, right. it just made me feel better knowing that I could say, okay, you know, whenever I see her again, I'll be like, yeah, you were actually seeing those things.
Sure.
And, you know, I believe you.
So had this had been going on, like she had moved into a new house and then she started having that happening to her?
No, this house she lived in, my granddad actually built it. We were, before I'm into the X-ray field and ghost hunting now, our whole family were contractors. So my granddad built that house back in the 40s, and, you know, they lived there all their life, and it was just something that happened after he passed away. So, you know, it makes me wonder, well, was it him that was coming back, you know, to check on her and make sure she's okay, or was it something connected to the land? And now that a strong male presence was gone, that it started making itself known to her because she was there by herself. And I know she was scared staying there by herself, you know, so maybe that maybe weakened her mind, so she actually seen this stuff.
Could you guys tell us a little bit about the some of the locations that you've been to in Middle Tennessee?
Chris, you want to take this?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Some of the locations, like, tell us a little bit of some of the locations you guys have been to around Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, most of them have been. Basically, we've done a lot of residential stuff. That's kind of how everybody starts out, but we kind of like to enjoy doing more of the residential stuff because you get to help people who have genuine problems. You know, a lot of people go out thrill seeking. We actually haven't been to one major, you know, well-known haunted place. I mean, we've never been to Waverly Hills. We've never been to anything that's more along the lines of thrill seeking. We kind of do it to help people out. Like, you know, we get personal with people and we try to get on their level and actually help people with real problems. I mean, we would love to go investigate to some of those places. You know, we just haven't really had the opportunity. And we're just like everybody else, you know, we have jobs and things that we have to do, and we're not made of money, so, I mean, a lot of these places you have to pay to get into. I mean, we don't have those type of funds and things, so, and of course, all the residential places we can't disclose, but one of the big ones that we've investigated numerous times that some people may know about is Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and that's in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and it's like a pretty big deal now. I mean, it was on the Travel Channel. I think even the Ghost Adventures crew are thinking about going out there, weren't they, Doogie?
Yeah, I think at one point they were talking about it. I know they had been on My Ghost Stories and and on the Travel Channel of Paranormal Challenge, which was a show that Chris and I were on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a blast, by the way. We had a lot of fun doing that. But
I kind of want to talk about that later, yeah.
To go back to your initial question, like, basically a lot of residential stuff. We've done a few churches. You know, we've done, I think, two cemeteries, one church. Doug, you help me out. Have we done anything else? Because we've done so many cases.
You know, big venues, you know, like I said, not
a field.
Yeah, a battlefield. But like Chris was saying, you know, we've done a lot for people. And it was kind of surprising because, you know, you think it would be hard to come up with cases, but, you know, sometimes we get kind of overrun with these, you know, residential cases, you know, and we have to pick through them. I mean, you know, because there's some people out here that have a real vivid imagination. They watch a lot of horror films. You know, they read a lot of books and things, and they manifest this stuff in their head, and then also they watch these paranormal shows. Well, they're like, okay, well, we've seen these guys on the Travel Channel, so it'd be cool just to get them to come to our house.
Yeah.
So, you know, we gotta kind of watch that kind of stuff, but But a majority, I'd say probably what, Chris, 98% of our cases are pretty legitimate. And usually, I mean, I don't know if we're just a team that you know, draws these things out, or if you're looking for the thrill-seeking side of it, if we're just lucky. But, you know, we find a lot of paranormal activity in these people's homes. You know, but of course, we are picky about our cases, too.
Sure.
You know, we want to make sure that they're, you know, not just feeding us a line of crap, you know.
Are there any of the residential cases that you can talk about?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about all of them. We just can't reveal, you know, the names of the people.
Right, absolutely.
But,
yeah.
But I know one of the most memorable cases, for me at least, was the one in Portland. And this house was really small. I'm thinking probably around 900 square feet. And this lady was having a lot of issues, and it's just her and her pet that lives there, which is a little dog. And she'd been telling me, you know, for a while she had things going on. And, you know, Chris and I sat down and talked about it. I was like, man, you know, let's go in here and help this lady. So we got all the guys together and got the crew and went up there. And there was pretty strange things going on in the house. And you can actually get on to our YouTube page, the Tennessee Wraith Chasers, and actually see two pieces of evidence where I actually had physical interaction with whatever this is that we encountered. I got tugged in the back, and then you can actually see I start to turn around to talk to Chris, and as I turn around, something tugged my jacket straight out. And the strange thing about it is we just got through hearing footsteps, and apparently this thing was standing, you know, somewhere close to me. And right after the interaction, I actually got really sick, and I had to go outside because, you know, I was like almost throwing up sick. And I don't know if that's from the interaction or what, but that was one of the most memorable cases. And, you know, she still has things ongoing today, and it's still an ongoing case for us.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
Yeah, and it's hard to give a plan to get these things out, because not knowing what they are or how to, you know, get them away from the location, you just keep going in and trying to ask more questions, find out more answers, and try to find some kind of video or visual evidence of what these things are. You can go in and you know, try to bless the house and different things like that, but you know, that doesn't always work.
What kind of devices, tools do you guys use? Could you go through just some of your tools and?
Sure.
Yep.
Chris, you can go ahead with some of them.
Yeah, we use pretty much what everybody else uses. I mean, we just use, you know, full spectrum cameras. We got the deep infrared cameras, UV cameras, a lot of cameras. We use, you know, just a regular 35mm, you know, because we go old school sometimes. Brandon's got a Polaroid camera that sometimes he'll take some snapshots with, just because we want to change it up. And, you know, it's not necessarily always the most high-tech piece of equipment that gets the job done. We've used, like, candles before to interact, the old flashlight trick. Then we have, you know, some more advanced type things, like we've got the EM pumps and the, what's that little, the little guy that lights up, the
mail meter?
No, not the millimeter. The REM pods and the little EMF detectors. And if you'll notice, I'm very non-scientific when I'm describing these things. I'm probably the least scientific guy on the whole team. But one of the main pieces of equipment that we use that we get the most evidence out of is just the digital recorders. I mean, those things right there. I mean, you could have a very, you know, successful case just by using a digital recorder. And a flashlight, I mean, that's all I started out using, is that. And, you know, we go from everything from something as simple as, you know, hanging a string from the ceiling and seeing if we can get any interaction. Like, you ever heard of the old trick where you hang a string from the ceiling, put like a little toy car on the end of it, and see if you can get something to move it all the way up to,
yeah, I've never heard
you know, the mail meter or, you know, the parabolic mic. I mean, we've got pretty much you know, a pretty big arsenal. I mean, we're not, like I said, we're not rich, so we don't have it all, but we've got a few things that we like to use.
Right. Yeah, I asked that question because I was just wondering, you know, if you got some kind of high-tech device that maybe gives you guys the edge over other teams and, you know, something different. And it sounds like you do.
We've got pretty much, I mean, ghost hunting, unless you get out and start building different things, maybe the number one device that we have that may be different from most teams is the melt meter with the antenna on it, which was actually developed for the show that we were on, Paranormal Challenge. It's an EMF gauge that measures temperature and electromagnetic field, but it also has an antenna that comes up off of it. And what it does is if you break, it's got like a perimeter around it, and if you break that perimeter with anything, with, you know, anything that gives off thermal energy, it'll go off. But, you know, I mean, it's really not as high-tech as, you know, I mean, it's just not really all that high-tech. It's pretty simple, but most teams don't have it because these things run $300, you know, plus dollars. And, but, you know, a lot of people doesn't have the new mail meter. But, you know, it's one of those things that's becoming more, you know, like everything else, like the flat-screen TVs that come out, and they were just crazy expensive. And now that, you know, a year or so has went by, you know, they're getting a little cheaper for people to get their hands on now.
Okay,
sure. What's some of the interesting evidence that you guys have captured?
Doogie, I'm going to let you take this one away. Doogie catches about 95% of our evidence.
Oh, really?
We've caught some really crazy things. I know there's a few pictures. I was out at a historical location here around the town of Gallatin, and I actually took almost 800 snapshots with a full-spectrum deep infrared camera, and it was probably around dusk. And out of those 800 shots, and my camera goes in successions of like three, you know, it'd take three quick shots, and then, you know, get reset in three quick shots. Well, somewhere around the 600s, you know, I was getting to the point of like, okay, all I'm seeing is trees and the same stuff that's sitting on this property. And, you know, it's one of those things where you've got them, I mean, no matter how boring it gets, go through all your evidence down to the last picture, down to the last second of a EVP session, because in the mid-600s, there was three snapshots in a succession of three. The first shot, you're talking maybe a second, you know, shooting three shots with one of these cameras. And the first shot, nothing was in it. The second shot, we actually caught a little girl standing on a wall and then an apparition of a man, and it looks like a little dog right behind her. And then in the third shot, they were gone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were just actually just looking at that picture. Yeah, that's a creepy picture.
It is creepy, and we actually had Porter, he and his wife went out to that location and actually tried to recreate this with her standing on the wall.
Yeah.
And you can tell her facial features, what kind of shoes she was wearing, and with the same camera. And this little girl, her face looks blacked out, and, you know, you can see the hair, the old-timey dress.
Right.
And, you know, it's a really creepy picture, and she's kind of, you know, she's twisted around kind of weird. It's really hard. I mean, she had to be a really young girl because I think Porter's wife is probably, what, Chris, 5'3", 5'4", maybe?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'd say she may be just a hair bit taller, but, yeah, about the same height.
Yeah, and she was a lot taller than this apparition on this wall, and she couldn't get her body in that same position. I mean, it's just strange. And, you know, I don't have any explanations. There was nobody out there. It was just me and my wife.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a whole lot of explanation for that. But, you know, people talk about ghosts. Well, if it's a ghost, it looks awful human-like to me.
Yeah, it really does. This picture, this was taken at night, or this was during the day?
This was at dusk. It was somewhere around.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'd say it was probably somewhere at that time of year. It was, you know, maybe 7.
6:30 or 7. So I mean, it was actually during the day, which is kind of weird too, you know. But it's really kind of weird because I knew when I was taking the picture there was nobody there.
Right.
That's the strange thing. Kind of hard to wrap your mind around that.
Yeah, and I do now that you mentioned that, because we're looking at the picture right now. I do see the dog.
Uh-huh.
Too. That is interesting.
it's really strange.
Yeah.
It looks like there's a guy. I don't know if he's wearing a top hat because the willow tree is kind of hanging right in front of him. But it looks like he may be holding the hand of like a little kid. And then there's the dog running with him. So I don't know. You know, it makes you think.
It would be better if that tree wasn't in the way, because it does look like there's, you know, definitely three things right there. And I mean, it could just be mind makers thing, and we always take that into account. But there's definitely something there that looks humanoid.
Yeah, the little girl's creepy.
Yeah, when I saw that for the first time, after Boogie showed it to me, that sent shivers down my spine for sure.
Yeah, really.
It almost reminds you of The Ring. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah.
The girl that's like crawling out of the TV.
Yeah, the hair in her face.
Yeah, it's real creepy. I'm just glad I don't see any of this stuff while I try to go to sleep at night, because I may have to evaluate some situations. but yeah, I mean, some other cool evidence that we've got, it came from the old South Pittsburgh Hospital that we mentioned earlier. And, I think Chris and I, we had a, I don't know what you would call it. It was like an event going on, and we were guest speakers. And at the time, they were doing like a ghost box session. There was some grown people, you know, around, and I think one younger kid that was one of the guest speakers' sons. And as they were doing this ghost box session, it's supposed to bring spirits around to talk through, a little radio device that scans frequencies. Well, we were getting some interaction with that. Well, Chris and I, we just kind of lay back in the shadows a little bit, if you'd say. I think Chris would agree with that. We kind of hang back.
Yeah, we just were pretty much viewing what was going on, kind of taking our own evidence in the background.
Yeah, and we're taking snapshots. And this, you have to keep in mind, this whole place was secure. There was security everywhere. And during this session, there was nobody on the floor other than the people you see in the photo. Well, I take a photo, again, one of the successions of three, and we catch a shadow apparition that's in, straight back behind everybody. Well, the very next picture I get, the shadow apparition has turned around kind of sideways, and then we take another picture, and as this happens, a third shadow apparition shows up. It looks about 7 foot, somewhere around 7 foot tall, and then we have a nurse, which looks like a nurse holding a baby at the nurse's station, and the same shadow apparition standing directly behind her.
Ooh.
Which is kind of strange. And that's on the YouTube and our website also.
Now, is it the nurse, isn't she blocking out one of your guys?
I think I believe it was Porter, wasn't it, Doogie? Actually, when we captured that, we were trying to...
He's talking about the debunking photo. Is it the one that's in red? It looks like a red.
Yeah, the one that's in red. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was actually we were actually trying to debunk the photos we took the night before, and that was during the day. And you can actually see one of our other investigators that is no longer with us now, Joe. He's actually getting some K2 hits at the time.
Okay.
He's
taking
readings, and we're getting Porter to walk closer and closer to us so we can judge heights on doorways and, just try to get a sense of where this thing may have been standing. Well, as we're doing that in a succession of three again, we get Porter. I can see Porter. Then the very next picture, the apparition of, we don't know if that's a nurse or a nun. It almost looks nun-like in a sense, but it actually blocks him out completely. And then you go to the third photo, and she's gone.
Hmm.
So that's another strange one. But the real dark ones that are on there that look in like the purple, that's actually the one we had caught the previous night.
Okay.
And we went back to try to debunk, and that's where we caught the shadow person and the nurse standing at the nurse's station holding the baby.
And some of the EVPs that you guys have gotten are really interesting too. I think that I saw something in there, like a baby crying or something.
Yes.
Which is really spooky.
Yep, and you know, Chris can answer that one. That was actually one he and Joe, I think, had found. Isn't that correct, Chris?
Yeah, this was actually up in the nursery, up on the third floor at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. We were walking through, I think it was me and Joe up there, and we, you know, it's just one of those things that we didn't hear it with our own ears. You know, you go over the evidence and you never know what you're going to find. It just so happened to be that, you know, when we first started that session, we had, you know, we always tell where we're at and, you know, kind of the situation that's going on, so we'll know back when we're recording, or I mean when we're going over the evidence, exactly where we are and the people that were with us. But we were passing by the nursery right when we heard that, so that was pretty creepy.
Wow. That's in the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital as well?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I would highly recommend checking that place out for anybody that that, you know, likes to go for thrill seeking, because we've captured obviously some of our best evidence there.
Yeah, and if anybody ever wants to go, all you have to do is look up Old South Pittsburgh Hospital on the interwebs, and you'll see a name pop up of Cindy Liddick. And if you get a hold of her, you can schedule investigations at any time, and you can have the whole place to yourself.
Oh, wow.
And it's a lot of square footage, and it's a lot of creepy square footage. So, you know, if you've got the mentality to go down there and try it out, we would really recommend it. That place has really got some strange activity going on, and it happens all year round.
What do you think that something like a hospital, why would you think that somebody like that would be haunted, or a cemetery would be haunted? What would your theories be on that?
And we have, see, that's the thing about our team. We all have different opinions on things of that nature.
Sure.
In my opinion, I have a little bit different system of believing, you know, in these things, or you know, different theories. And, you know, they're pretty much endless when it comes to me. But one thing I'm not keen on, or one thing that I really don't believe in, I mean, is the, you know, the whole thing about, you know, it being an actual trapped soul. That's kind of something different about me. I think it can be a lot of number of things. I think that, you know, people know instinctively that, you know, where would you go to look for a ghost? People are going to think, I mean, I've even done it myself, but it was just to get a response. You go to a cemetery or a funeral home or, you know, a hospital or somewhere where there would have been something traumatic or people dying, and we associate ghosts with death and things of that nature. So, I would guess that's why people would go up there, but I think that the reason these places are so haunted is, you know, a lot of it has to do with maybe some type of another force, like perhaps a demonic entity wanting to play with our heads and make us think and deceive us that, you know, there are dead people still hanging around. That's just my opinion. I try not to force that opinion on anybody else or, you know, say, you know, this is concrete, that's what it is, because, I mean, let's be honest, nobody will ever probably know what it is. I mean, maybe one day somebody will build something that will tell us, you know, something more factual about this stuff, but right now, you know, it's all up in the air. But I think Doogie, you know, I'm pretty sure that Doogie kind of has a different view on that, and that's okay, because we, you know, that's why we work so well together as a team, because everybody has a different theory and opinion.
Sure.
It takes it so, you know, we can plug in different people's opinion, and the thing about our team, you know, we never look at the next guy, you know, next to us and say, you're wrong. We're just like, you know, that's an interesting fact. What if it is like this, or what if it is like that? You know, we can give you different aspects. You know, if you have a question about it, we'll give you an aspect from, you know, say Chris's view or my view or Porter's view, which gives a different view all the way around. You know, it's a 360-degree view of how these things could be, you know, manifesting, or where they come from, what they are, you know. You know, like the hospital bit, you know, cemeteries, you know, I'm a little different in that aspect. I don't know if a cemetery would actually be haunted, because most people's energies, you know, if that's the case, their energy would be maybe staying where they passed away, you know, not where their body is.
Right.
Right there. You know, and in the hospital aspect of the thing, maybe because there's a lot of death, you know, a lot of people die every day in hospital. There's a lot of malpractice in hospitals, a lot of bad things being done to people. And, you know, who knows, but it seems like there's a lot of stuff that goes on where there's been a lot of traumatic things go on, death and abuse and things of that nature.
So, Doogie, would you say that that you believe that there are lingering spirits?
You know, I'm kind of on the fence, you know, because I don't really know. You know, I think there may be a possibility it could be lingering spirits, you know, maybe from, you know, past generations.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and you know, I'm kind of with Chris because I do think, yes, there are demons on this earth because, you know, I don't throw the Bible at everything, but it does say in the Bible that, you know, Satan and his followers were cast to earth to roam freely. So to me, in that statement, that they can be anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's a church, if it's a hospital, if it's your house, you know, wherever, they can be lingering around. And the thing about it, they know a lot of what Jesus and God knows, so they can come to you as anything you could be thinking. They're going to know your thoughts before you know your thoughts.
Right.
So, you know, they can manifest to you as anything you would be thinking. Okay, I'm in a hospital. Am I going to see, you know, a past little kid, you know, run down the hallway? Or am I going to see an old patient that they've talked about, you know, come out or say something? You know, they can appear to you as anything they want.
So would you guys say that you think that it's more caused mentally, like maybe, you know, the traumatic things that are happening are causing the apparitions to appear? Or do you think it's more, you know, actual spirits that have left the bodies, or a combination of both that you guys experience most of the time?
You know, it could be a combination of both. I think if it is lingering spirits, it may be, you know, it could be their soul is at unrest because of things that happened to them there. You know, we don't know if these things are trapped there. You know, it's just hard to say.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why we do the research we do. And, you know, I think that's the same thing that Chris is kind of looking for, you know, is this really... Are we really seeing what we think we see, or is it a trick on our minds? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is this the real person that passed away, or is this just, you know, just whatever roaming around out here, and it's just going to come to you as what you're thinking you're going to see?
Well, certainly, if you were in if you guys have been in cemeteries, I'm sure. I mean, they're pretty creepy places, and I would think some of that effect may be just psychological. With yourself, where you just you get an idea that, hey, I'm going to see something, and then you anything that's out there that may have a mundane explanation probably is just you know, there's a ghost behind every tombstone, basically. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I mean, Chris can tell you a lot about that because we have a lot of trouble with people. You know, we get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures sent to us, audio, different things. Your mind can be one of the biggest ghost stories there is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can look and glance and see something, and you're like, oh my God, you know, I just seen a ghost. Well, actually, you may have seen maybe a car two streets over pass by and cast a shadow, you know, of a limb that looks like a person, and your mind is going to perceive what is familiar to it. You know, the mind sees a person, so the first thing you see in that shadow, okay, your mind's going to perceive it as a person. You know, and you're automatically thinking, oh, this is a ghost, when actually, you know, you're really not seeing anything. You're just, I guess, spooking yourself out, you know.
Yeah. And that's probably something you guys had to do, was to get past that level of where you were kind of spooking yourselves out, and then... you know, to another level where you could kind of really, you know, be calm about the situation. And then if you know, kind of understand what I'm saying with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's been situations where, you know, especially Chris can elaborate on this too.
Yeah.
You know, we turn around and see something and be like, oh, you know, what was that?
Yeah, I mean, there's even been some people that have that we've called aunts. Like to ask and see if somebody's like a true skeptic or not. Is to just out of the blue just say, did you hear that? And then if they react and say, yeah, I did hear that. And then you can maybe say something like, it sounded like it said, you know, I want to eat your dog. And then they'll be like, yeah, it did sound like that. And like you said earlier, people's minds, I mean, obviously our minds are going to play tricks on them. It's like, it's everybody, when you watch a horror movie, you go home, you want to sleep with the lights on. It's that whole, you know, cliche thing where you think, you know, you've got the serial killer in the closet. I mean, same thing when you're trying to do a paranormal investigation. But as you do this for so long and, you know, as the years go by, you kind of get immune to that part of it. And it's more about curiosity and, you know, seeking out, you know, the truth, maybe trying to help people right. out in some certain form. Because, I mean, really, ghost hunting 9 times out of 10, or I'd go ahead and maybe say 8 times out of 10. We're not going to find anything in there anyway. I mean, even if the place is actively haunted and people are experiencing actual paranormal activity, I mean, there's no, you know, said time of day that it's going to happen. I mean, we can't control what kind of evidence we're going to get, obviously. So, I mean, it's just a matter of getting it at the right place at the right time.
And then with all the electronic stuff that we have, you know, if there's exposed wires, EMF can cause havoc on people's brains, so they could be, you know, just being bombarded with EMF and chemicals, and they're just, you know, of course they're seeing things by that point.
Exactly. We had a case just recently, a resident, where they had a small child, and they had a box, like an electric box, right underneath her floor. And, I mean, it was given, it was, what was the reading? It was like a 27.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it was a 27 in a spot where the one of the boxes were. But if you actually got in the closet, I think at one point it shot up to like, what, a 70 or 80?
Yeah, and this is right where the little girl's little playhouse was, little Barbie house or whatever. And that's where she played most of the time. And she was experiencing most of the activity. So, you know, you really got to, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we are a scientifically based team. I mean, we're a Christian team and we believe in the presence of demonic activity and things of that nature. But first we're going to go in with those meters and see what we can find to see if there's any kind of faulty wiring or anything with even like the plumbing or, you know, going as far as to, right. to checking their windows to make sure that they, you know, they got good sealed windows and things of that nature.
That little girl was probably not only seeing her dead grandpa, she was probably on the Yellow Submarine, too, by that point.
So. Right. Yeah. Because that stuff can really make you sick, and it has different effects on different people. You know?
Yeah, especially some kids. People may.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the big questions out there is, does the high EMF actually make people see this stuff?
Yeah.
Or does the actual EMF give them energy to manifest? And that's the reason why people see it more where there's high EMF. You know, that's an ongoing question. And it's one we haven't been able to answer because it seems like, yes, you get more stuff when you're around high EMF. But, you know, is that the truth of what's going on? You know, I don't know. We haven't been able to actually debunk that yet.
It's kind of a chicken and egg thing.
And probably never will.
Yeah, it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing. Because that's something in alien abduction lore, too, is, you know, there's a guy out there that he's a doctor at some university in Canada, and he has a helmet that produces EMF. And these people will see, you know, little gray beings similar to what's in an alien abduction. So, you know, it's a kind of a weird chicken and egg thing going on.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what does this stuff actually do to our brains?
Right.
So what's you guys' method of expelling violent spirits / demons from someone's home? Or
that's another really good question. A lot of times, I know Chris and I have talked about it, and we've actually done it in a few cases, tried to throw out, you know, different verses out of the Bible and try to,
you know, push these things away by using the Lord's name, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to work. I don't know if we're, if, you know, I don't know why, you know, but it does seem when you start using the Lord's name that they seem to not want to talk anymore, you know. Yeah. They'll acknowledge they know who he is, and then when you start saying that, you know, hey, you need to go where you come from, you know, if you're an evil spirit, you know, we have the power of the Lord with us, you know, things like that, it seems to dissipate some of the activity sometimes, at least when we're there. You know, we've tried to get different people to come in and bless the house. And a lot of things in this field you'll find is there's a lot of fake people out here. You know, they want to talk about wanting to help people and things of that nature. And, you know, they'll say, yeah, we'll come bless the house, we'll do this. And then, you know, they never show up. You know, I don't know if it's because it doesn't really work or if it's just their methods behind it. But there's really no real way to get these things out other than what Chris and I tell the homeowners. You know, we come in to find the stuff. You know, they look to us for the answers of how to get it out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's really nobody but the man upstairs that really knows that answer on how to get them out. And we tell them, you know, you need to do some praying, and not just praying of where you're standing, you know, beside the couch and be like, oh, please, please, Lord, you know, get this out of my house. Yeah. Like serious praying. Get down on your knees in the room, you know, with a shut door, and you know, let some tears fly, and you know, get beside the Lord and be like, look, you know, we really need you to help us with this problem and get this out of here. All we can do is come in and give them the information that we get and say, okay, either, yeah, you took one too many pills from your medication, or, yeah, you've got some pretty crazy stuff going on, so you probably, you know, need to get on your knees and start, you know, asking the big man upstairs for some help.
Right. Yeah, I asked that to see if maybe you guys burned sage or incense or had some kind of tricks like that, you know, or salt in the doorway, just, you know, some kind of omen, something like that y'all used.
Yeah, we kind of stay away from that, because the dangerous part about that, if you're dealing with something, you know, demonic, is you can do that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it may not hurt to do it, but we don't want to be the ones to do it, because sometimes it increases, you know, the activity, like, to the point that it's craziness. And, you know, we don't want to stir that up. We just want to give them the scientific facts of what we find, and then, okay, we will help you find somebody, you know,
mm-hmm.
come in and do it, but that's between you and them. You know, that's you guys' decision to bring these people in, because we don't want to bring, you know, because, like I said earlier, there's a lot of quacks out here, even that are in the paranormal field, that you bring them in the house, and they may do something that just causes complete havoc, and then, you know, there you are. We don't want to have our hands in that, you know what I'm saying?
You guys are investigators anyway, not priests, you know?
You got a lot of self-acclaimed demonologists now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a lot of people. I mean, we've met we have met people before who have claimed to be, you know, demonologists and know what they're doing, and even, you know, priests that have showed us pictures that are just ridiculous, you know, saying this is a demon, and it's just something as simple as, you know, a trick of light or mind nature thing, or something that's just obviously not any type of substantial evidence. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are just looking for attention, and this is a great outlet for that. I mean, to do this, you really got to be, you know, you really got to have a true heart and really want to find answers and have a, you know, a true suspicion and curiosity for it. Because, you know, there's so many people out there that can just do it just for attention and to try to, you know, because it's something that's unknown, and they can, you know, if they wanted to, they can make something happen, you know what I mean? I mean, they can fake something, oh, I got scratched, I got pushed, sure, you know, my hair got right, kind of thing. So, I mean, it gives for some people, it just gives them something to do. So you really got to be careful out there if you do have a haunting or something that you feel is really legitimate and it's wreaking havoc on your home, is to find the right investigators and really do some research and make sure you don't get a bunch of people out there just trying to stir something up, because they may actually, you know, make it worse.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of people, and, you know, we're not tooting our own horn, but you know, we're God-fearing guys, and when we go in and do something, we want to go in and do it with the truth, not just to stir up the homeowners. Because, I mean, when they call you, you know, a lot of them are genuinely having trouble with paranormal activity. And you don't want to come back to them with, you know, you took, you know, 50 photos, and, you know, out of those photos, there's an orb in every one of them. Well, you know, an orb is not a ghost. Now, if it looks like the sun has exploded in your house, yeah you may have an orb. But if you see these little orbs flying around and people are like, oh, yeah, that's a demonic orb, and they're in your house and it's right next to your kid, you know, you can really disturb somebody that's already, you know, they've already got enough crap going on. Yeah, they don't need to add some kind of stupidness to it. And, you know, when it comes to, like, the orbs and different things, it's all junk is what it is. If anybody thinks an orb is a ghost, it's junk.
I think we both have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, we both do. Yeah. It's funny because we went to I was at the ghost tour downtown Nashville, and they said, you're guaranteed to get orbs on this ghost tour. So they take you to the state capitol, right, and say, oh, take a picture of the top of the state capitol. Well, the top of the state capitol is all lit up, and, of course, there's bugs flying around.
Exactly.
You're going to get orbs.
Yeah, and if you're out there, I know these ghost tours, you know, they start pretty late sometimes at night, and you've got moisture in the air. You know,
right.
You take a picture with light and the moisture gets in there, you're going to have orbs. I mean, yeah, if that's the kind of investigation you want to do, yeah, you're probably going to have a lot of ghosts.
Yeah.
But, you know, to us, orbs are nothing but, you know, like a reflection, you know, in moisture.
A lens fractal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just craziness to me. You know, and that's the reason why everything gets blown out of proportion in this field, because people make things more than they really are sometimes, and orbs is one of those things that are on the top of the list of just stupidness to me.
That's kind of like the divide in ghost hunting is orbs or no orbs. There's a lot of people out there that if you watch some of the shows, there's one I can think of that a lot of people get on there and they'll talk about, well, we caught orbs or we caught a mist and we were just outside smoking and we caught a mist, you know. So.
Yeah, exactly. It could be the smoke coming back out of your mouth. I mean, really, it could.
It was only 32 degrees, but there was a mist.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, if they hear us say stuff like that, they're probably going to be like, those guys, they just, you know, think they're blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just what we believe. If you believe a orb is a ghost, that's your own opinion. But, you know, in all of our investigations, and we've done a lot, we try to be realistic, and, you know, orbs are just not realistic to us.
When in doubt, throw it out. That's it.
And I had one for you guys. I just got distracted. Go ahead, Adam. I'll remember in a second.
Okay.
I just lost it.
Well, it's all right. No problem. I really want to ask you guys about, and we've been touching on it, I think, through the course of the interview, is that you guys' Christian faith. That's something that I see, and I could be wrong, but that's something that I see as a little unusual in ghost hunting and paranormal investigation. You don't see too many just flat-out Christian ghost hunters. And you guys really wear it on your sleeve, and which I think is good because I am a Christian. But it's interesting to me that, you know, I guess it's kind of a twofold question. How do you pair that with what you do, and with ghost hunting, your faith with ghost hunting, and then also, do you feel less accepted by like some other ghost hunting
the rest
groups?
Of the community.
Yeah. Rest of the community.
The way we intertwine our faith with ghost hunting, I mean, we believe that God is our, you know, He's our rock, and I mean, it even says in the Bible, you know, God is, you know, He's a solid rock, and mean, he's what gives us our strength and our power, you know. So we always say a prayer before we go into any investigation and ask him to walk with us, because we never know what we're going to deal with. I mean, if it is something demonic, I mean, God forbid, I mean, you need the big man on your side. And we, you know, like I said before, you do get numb to these things. And sometimes even us, you know, we can not take it seriously enough. So we try to, you know, get as humble as we can, because, you know, these people, a lot of them that we're dealing with are very, you know, scared. They're frightened for their children and their, you know, their spouse. And, you know, a lot of times they're physically handled and, you know, pushed, pulled, kicked, scratched. And, you know, when you're dealing with something like that, you can't see. I mean, you got to have faith, and you got to get your power from, you know, somewhere besides yourself. So we, you know, we always go to the big man. And as far as how we're viewed from other teams, I mean, we've been viewed pretty, you know, taken in pretty, you know, wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I think a lot of
paranormal people out there, and a lot of people that believe in this stuff, I mean, you got to have faith in something. I mean, because you think about it, if you believe in the paranormal or something otherworldly, I mean, you know, you got to believe in God or something other than yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think that they don't come out and say it, you know, like we do, and maybe, you know, maybe they should, you know, but that's, you know, of course their own preference, but we love God, and we want to try to put Him first in our life, and also I think it helps us to be less susceptible to any type of demonic activity or, you know, any attachment. You know, when you put on the full armor of God, as it says in the Bible, you know, it will, you know, keep the evil stuff from getting on you.
And see, the thing about it, you know, like I tell people, if you believe in the Bible, you already believe in the supernatural anyways. I mean, the Bible is pretty much all supernatural. You know, they're talking to a burning bush, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, a lot of the people we do investigations for, you know, I wouldn't go as far to say half, but, you know, a majority of them, they are Christians. And the worst thing I see out here is the people in the churches are not taking these people in very well. You know, they kind of shun them off. They're crazy, or you know, and sometimes they don't want to say anything to the church because they're going to feel like, okay, these people are going to think I'm crazy. I think if the churches would embrace it a little more and you know, a pastor or whoever would sit them down and be like, okay, tell me what's going on, and let's plug this back into the Bible, and let me try to give you some biblical answers to what may be going on. You know, I think that would be a whole lot simpler sometimes, but people are just afraid of the perception of the next person.
Sure.
And right. I think that's where all of us on the team, we're all Christians, we all go to church, you know, you're not supposed to care what the next man thinks,
no.
You know, because they're not your judge. The man upstairs is your judge. So that being said, we go to these people with open arms, like you're supposed to, you know, as a Christian, and be like, okay, we're going to help you. We're going to come in. We're going to see if you're actually experiencing things, and we're going to give you some answers. And if you need to get some answers from the Bible, we'll sit down with you. We'll talk to you about it. And, you know, it, I think a lot of times people just need to take their okay, what's you know, Joe and Bob over here going to think about me if I tell them about my haunting? I think, you know, bring it up in the open, because we took a lot of flack from people before they know we're Christians. They think we're just a bunch of guys that's out running around at night trying to talk to dead people.
Right, yeah.
That's not what we're doing, you know. The way I look at it, if I'm talking to something, it's not dead. You know, it's still alive somehow.
Yeah, somehow, yeah.
Even when people die, yeah, your body dies, but if you believe in science that the body is made up of energy, well, anybody that knows anything about science knows that energy never dies. It just changes form. So where does that energy go? I don't know. It's a wide spectrum out there. Of course, we take a lot of flack for it, but I think it'd be a lot better if people were just a little more open and would listen to other people, and maybe we could get a few more answers other than, you know, some of the questions that we get out of the investigations. You know, sometimes you get more questions than you do answers sometimes. But,
when you, because, you know, as you guys mentioned that you do go to church, I mean, when you mention, what you do. I mean, how does, you know, the other people at the church, how do they handle that?
I think it's sometimes it's a little mixed bag, you know.
Sure.
Some people are just like, oh, yeah, you guys are those crazy ghost chasers. I don't believe in all that ghost chasing stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, well, especially in Tennessee, you know, we're in the Bible Belt, and this is like, I know from, I can't speak for duty, but my church, it's a really old, you know, just little country church that I've been through my whole life. I'm pretty much, I mean, everybody there that I know I grew up with, I mean, they know me. I've been going there since I was a baby. And they embrace me, and they're always asking me, hey, well, you guys going on another hunt? I mean, but then there are some that they really don't take it seriously. I mean, because, you know, like Doogie said, I mean, we're in the Bible and they're just like, oh, that's silly. And they'll kind of chuckle and elbow you a little bit and be like, you find any ghosts lately? And, you know, but, I mean, they don't, and that's fine. I mean, I definitely don't take that personally. I mean, I'll sit there and cut up with them all day about it. But, you know, it just comes down to the simple fact, if you haven't experienced it for yourself, then, I mean, I can understand why people would think that it's silly or hokey.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to experience to know it. And that's what a lot of people, you know, they're like, so did you actually see a ghost? You'd be like, I don't actually know if I've seen a ghost, but I've seen something, you know. I mean, that's the way you got to leave it. Because, you know, like at the church I'm at with my wife, you know, most of them embrace it, you know. But you also have the ones that don't want to talk about it, but then you get them off away from church. You know, you see them, you know, at the local Walmart or somewhere like that, and they're like, hey, you know, and they're kind of looking around, be like, so did you guys actually find something? You know, and you find out they're more interested in it than they let on at church. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right.
So I think a lot of people are more open to it than they actually reveal in front of others, you know, until they get you alone. And it's just the plain fact that, you know, they're worried about what the next man's going to think about them being interested in it, you know, which it shouldn't matter. You know, it's all questions, and, you know, we're not out here trying to tell everybody, you know, we're not out here trying to conjure up spirits or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
We're trying to actually help people and give them answers, and, you know, we try to plug it back into the Bible, you know, of, you know, if you're into the Bible, then it says this or it says that, you know, you take it for what it's worth, you know, it's your faith, so you put your own mind around it, and that's kind of how we leave it to people.
Well, in the New Testament, Jesus is casting out demons left and right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, the New Testament makes references to ghosts.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, it's in the Bible in itself, you know, it's supposed to be a book, a path to how we're supposed to live, and give us stories of Jesus. But it's also a corridor to, there are other things out here than us, you know. What that may be, we're not really sure. But, you know, if they sent, you know, if God sent the demons down here to roam on the earth, really, you know they're here. But what are they going to show up to you as?
Yeah.
That little girl that the neighbor talks about that walks around in their bedroom at night? Is that really a little girl? Who knows? It may be a little girl. It could be a demon, you know.
I think there's definitely a shade of gray there. I think we have no idea, really. I think there's a lot of people out there that are convinced that it's totally demons, and there's people that are convinced that it's just earthbound spirits, and they're just, and some of them are angry and some of them are good.
Right.
But you know, I think that it kind of something, I think it for me personally, it falls somewhere in between the two. And I think, right, Luke had a question he wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah, what I was gonna ask y'all earlier is, Do you guys use a ghost hunter aggressive approach sometimes, or do you always kind of do it a more subtle way?
That's kind of a good question, because we're actually a little different than most. And yeah. Chris agreed with this all the way. You know, sometimes, you know, we go in with the same ghost, you know, hey, what's your name? When were you born? Are you dead? Blah, blah, blah. You know, but also we throw in, you know, a little comedic version too, because, you know, just for instance, say if it is somebody that's passed away, you know, years ago, they've got a sense of humor. They don't want to sit there and talk to somebody that's just going to ask them the same questions over and over again. So, you know, we go in there and we start joking around. You know, Chasey's got a mohawk, you know.
Yeah.
But,
you know, we'll be like, hey, what do you think about Chase's hair? Sure's a nice mohawk, isn't it? What do you think about that? You got your hair, you know. And a lot of times we get interaction off that. Because, you know, if we got a sense of humor, surely, you know, if it is somebody that's passed on, they've got a sense of humor also. So, I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt sometimes, you know, because the serious stuff just kind of gets old. And, you know, throw some different stuff out there, you know, just talk amongst yourself, joking around, and sometimes these things just come in. And, I mean, Chris has been a witness to that. You know, we're joking around and doing stuff, and then it just kind of comes in on our meter sometimes, like it's laughing along with us.
Right. You know, yeah, I heard some of those, yeah.
So, it's, you know, it's kind of strange.
We heard that one of the guys on the crew has a sensory deprivation tank.
I'm
not sure what you're saying.
A chamber. It's like a box filled with water that you get in with the Epsom salts and you float in, and it's supposed to call like visions and stuff. You know, you meditate in it. It's like a solid box with salt water in it, and you float in it.
If they have it, it's got to be Chasey Ray, because, I mean, that boy painted his whole house to be like a rave. He got like glowing dark paint.
Yeah, that would have to be
just. He may have just rented that thing for his dirty dubstep party.
Him nice. And his disco dancers. Yeah, you know, I can't really speak for that because I really haven't had my Epsom salt bath tonight. you know, I'm not too sure about that. Now, you know, we have been looking at a device called the Devil's Toy Box. You know, we've kind of, you know,
experimented
a bit. But right now, you know, we're still in the experimental stages with that piece of equipment, if you want to call it that. You know, it's a structure. But yeah, I don't know about. We'll have to ask Chasey about this seeing water Epsom salt deal.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on another episode. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to get Chasey on here, but you'll have to make sure you kind of, every time he says something, you'll have to maybe repeat it, because he has kind of a southern speech impediment. I mean, you know, Chris and I are pretty country, but he's one of those guys, you know, he's like, hey, how you brother, and Chris, what are you doing with that, my buddy? But we're like, what? Really? What are you saying? You need a crayon, some paper? Just write it down for me.
Is he like the Boomhauer of the group?
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Always holding the beer at the haunting site.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would definitely be Chasey Ray.
He brings the 12-pack.
Yeah, Chasey Ray's got the 12-pack. He's sitting over there talking about ghosts, and Chris and I are looking at each other like, what is she actually talking about?
you gotta have a translator for Chasey Ray.
Yeah, so it's kind of a trip talking to Chasey Ray, and there's no telling what he's got in his house. We try not to go in there because we're afraid that something might eat us as we go in, because there's no telling what he's got over there sometimes.
So raccoons and skunks and
he's a different bird, but we love him to death, and he's one of the greatest guys you ever will meet.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and exceptionally smart and tech savvy.
Yeah, he is bad.
You just can't understand what he says, but he can explain something to you how it works. You just may not understand a word of it.
Sure.
Yeah, he talks like he's straight out of the cave, but I mean, when it comes down, he's actually really smart. I think he made like a 2 on his SAT.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a joke.
We didn't want to be rude.
Guys, I think we're just about out of time, but can you guys tell us, you know, what your web presence is, your website, for everybody, that they can go look at the evidence that we were talking about earlier, And then also, you know, to say anything like what the future may hold for you guys.
You can go to www.TennesseeRaceChasers.com or you can go to TNRaceChasers.com. We got a Facebook page, facebook.com/TNRaceChasers. We've got an evidence page. We got some merchandise out there if you want to help us spread the word on your back. But we've got everything we've ever done on there, and you can find out a little bit about us in each individual bio from all the guys. And you know, send us an email and, you know, talk to us. We'd love to talk to anybody and answer any questions out there.
Yeah. Cool.
You can hit Chris or I, either one, up on Twitter. I think mine is at Doogie66TWC, and Chris, yours is what, at Chris?
It's
yeah, at Chris.
I think it's Chris TWC or TWC Chris. It's one or the other. He'll find me.
Yeah, I'm the idiot.
I'm the only idiot on Twitter that's flexing his muscles and pointing a camera at myself.
Well, excellent.
We'd like to have fun, but hey, we really appreciate you guys having us on here.
Thanks for coming on.
It's been a good time.
Hey, we're gonna close out the show. You guys stay on the line real quick, and Luke and I are gonna close out this section. So, Luke.
Okay.
We're gonna go to break, and we'll be back on Conspiro Normal.
And we're back on Conspiro Normal for the outro.
All right, and everybody knows who I am, and everybody knows who you are.
Of course, we've mentioned it a couple times.
We've like a billion times already. So, Luke, before we go, you shared some interesting family story with me the other day, mm-hmm. and I want you to share that with our audience.
All right, so I'm talking with my grandma and my mom about Sasquatches. And I think my mom had a story or something too, but it wasn't the same as grandma's. Grandma had a face-to-face encounter, while mom kind of saw a Sasquatch at a distance or something like that. It could have been anything, you know. But so grandma and a couple members of her family, I think she said her mom was there, and a couple other people with her, some of her mom's friends, were walking through a part of the Everglades in South Florida.
How long ago was this?
Years. She said she was a little girl, and she was born in 36, 37.
Okay. So probably the 40s.
Yeah, so she said she was like 6 or 7, if I remember right. And so she's walking through these woods, and it's pretty thick, you know, and they hear something approaching them, and so they kind of slow down, you know, to listen, and this whole family of them, they said, turn the corner of Sasquatches, and they both looked at each other, kind of, you know, a long pause of astonishment, and then they both took off running in separate directions.
Ooh.
She described them as, what was that movie with that big furry, kind of looked like Chewbacca, but it was like a Disney movie or something, and they were their friend, like it was the kid's friend. You know what I'm talking about?
Talking about the actual Bigfoot movie?
No, never mind. Okay. It's some old, anyway, like that's what popped up in my head. Whenever she described it, but she said that they had like long, coarse red hair, and she said they had the same kind of features as us, but like, you know, like flatter noses and
weird.
Yeah, she said, but they were covered in hair from head to toe, and there was two little ones, and I guess a female. She said just one, slightly shorter than her mom.
So like a family unit?
Yeah.
So her family walks up and they see these, whatever they are, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
and they look at them. The Sasquatch family looks back at your grandmother's family, and then there's that moment where they're looking at each other.
Yeah.
And then the Sasquatch family just kind of runs away.
Right. She said it was just kind of a long pause, and they just looked at each other astonished, you know, like like they had never seen a human before, and yeah. And of course they have never seen a Sasquatch before, and then they all took off running.
What are you? What the hell are you?
Yeah. And my grandma, you know, usually I dismiss this kind of thing, but she doesn't make up stuff like that. She's not like a prankster. She's not a trickster. That's not her style of humor. Sure. You know?
Weird. Weird story. Well, I mean, the Everglades has been known for like the skunk ape. And they call it that because it has a really bad smell.
Right.
So it's interesting that, you know, there's a place that it's known to have happened, and then all of a sudden, you know, this old story comes back. And your grandmother kind of just was like a matter of fact about it too. She wasn't like,
right. She's not like playing a joke. She's not trying to joke around.
Well, I saw them. You know.
Yeah.
That's weird. That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
But turn it back to the guests. What'd you think of the Tennessee Wraith Chasers?
There's some cool, like, they're good old country boys.
Yeah, they are, man.
Good old country boys.
They are. They're great guys. You know, I really think that they've got it going on, and hope to see, you know, a lot out of them in the future. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to close out the show. But next week we're going to have on a gentleman named Chris White. Is someone that I know. And he's been making the rounds because he made a video called Ancient Aliens Debunked, which I know Ancient Aliens is like your favorite show ever. So this will be an interesting interview for sure.
He's not debunking my theories, man.
And then the next time we're going to have Adam Go Rightly back. And we're going to try to talk about Manson, Montauk Project,
right on.
Just a lot more weird stuff, and about probably more psychedelics, talking about psychedelics.
Word
so,
up.
You know, we're going to close out the show, and we're going to have a very special treat, because I'm going to use my NPR voice and come on here. And now Luke will serenade us with some Tano Tuvan throat singing. Join us next time on Conspirator. She was mine, she looks so good. I wanna hold her, wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. I'm gonna call her on the telephone. Have her over cause I'm all alone. I need excitement, oh I need it bad. And it's the best I've ever had. I wanna hold her, wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through. Another girl in the neighborhood. Wish she was mine, she looks so good. I wanna hold her, wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. I'm gonna call her on the telephone. Have her over cause I'm all alone. I need excitement, oh I need it bad. And it's the best I've ever had.